Coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast, the team's added a bunch of running backs. Well, they finally released one, so we'll talk about that. Plus, we'll add some clarity on the upcoming schedule release and a few more front office nuggets. Plus, we'll wrap up our Raider draft pick features as we'll hear about Thayer Munster, the offensive lineman from Ohio State, and also Britton Brown, the running back from UCLA, both 7-round picks. So you'll hear those coming up on today's edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Friday, May 6th, 2022. We're going to head into the weekend. We're going to head into it strong. This is the Locked On Raiders podcast. Let's get it.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders. Win.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Just win.
Your team
just
every
win.
Day.
Just win.
Your win is a Raider. Pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. And won. And won.
And welcome in, Raider Nation, to another edition of the Locked On Raiders podcast. Thank you so much for making the show your first listen each and every day. Remember, you can find Locked On Raiders podcast free and available on all platforms. Plenty to get to on today's show. Very excited about what we got for you as we're going to wrap up our draft pick kind of profiles with the 7th round picks. Thayer Munster and Britton Brown, the offensive lineman and the running back, both 7th round picks. We're going to get to those today and wrap that up to close out the week. And I really feel good about that. Been having a lot of fun being able to break these guys down with the different guests that we had on the show. So, of course, we got two more incredible guests coming up on the show. But here in segment number one, want to give you the news and notes of the day, and got quite a bit to get to of that as well. We know that the Raiders have a lot of running backs in that running back room. Well, something has to give, right? You can't keep up with all the running backs. So the Raiders finally released one of them, and that was Trey Regis. And if you remember, Trey Regis was the guy last season during the offseason and preseason and training camp that really went out and did some good things. You know, he was a guy that I thought was going to take the place of Jalen Richard, but instead Richard was able to hold on to his job throughout the course of the year when he wasn't out with injury or COVID. He battled with both of them in 2021, but because of his pass blocking ability, was able to stick around on the roster. And of course, he did do some good things, especially pass catching on the third down. That's what he was good for. He is now a free agent and he hasn't been signed by any team. So now Trey Regis is out there on the open market as well. And who knows, maybe the Raiders will sign him back at some point to the practice squad. But right now, without Trey Regis, they currently have 8 guys in that running back room, including 2 fullbacks. So right now, Amir Abdullah is there. Brandon Bolden, he's there. Britton Brown, the rookie's there. Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs, Zamir White, another rookie. Sutton Smith and Yakub Johnson. Sutton Smith and Yakub Johnson are both, those are both fullbacks. So those guys are currently the ones in the running back room. Now, as far as guys that I actually think are going to make the roster, because obviously all those guys aren't going to be there when the season comes around. And I know we're a long way from that, but Brandon Bolden, he's the only guy that actually has a contract beyond this year. So I think he's a lock. He's a guy that comes over from the New England Patriots. Kenyon Drake, I think he's going to be with the Raiders for one more year. Josh Jacobs, of course, I feel like it's going to be one more year. Zamir White, the rookie out of Georgia, I believe is going to be there. And then Yakub Johnson, the fullback, I think he'll be there. So those are the guys that I think will remain in the running back room for the 2022 season. Brandon Bolden, Kenyon Drake, Josh Jacobs, Zamir White, and Yakub Johnson. So there you go. Those are the guys as far as the running back room goes. Now, I mentioned a couple of the rookies as far as the running backs go. The Raiders, they released the rookie numbers. They handed out the rookie numbers on Thursday, so I'll go through them real quickly. And look, these could always change depending on, at the end of the day, who really makes a 53-man roster and who doesn't. Some guys, maybe a veteran that has a certain number, if he ends up getting released, I could see a rookie saying, hey, I prefer to have this number. So as of right now, don't go out and buy a jersey. You know, I don't think anyone's going out and buying any of these jerseys right now anyway. But just in case you are, don't invest in it yet until you know for a fact that these guys are going to, in fact, be these numbers. But as of right now, guard Dylan Parham, the 3rd-round pick, is number 66. Running back Zamir White, the 4th-round pick, 35. Defensive lineman Neil Farrell Jr., 93. Defensive tackle Matthew Butler, number 73. Tackle Thayer Mufford Jr., 77. And then running back Britton Brown, number 38. So I think Parham's going to definitely make the team. Farrell and Butler, I think, are going to make the team. Munford's going to be a long shot, but I think he's going to have an opportunity to make the team. Zamir White, I can see him being a guy that changes number from 35, just in case somebody gets cut during the during training camp process, preseason process. I can see him changing that number from 35. And Britton Brown, I think it's a very long shot for him to make the roster. Maybe he makes the practice squad, but we'll see. But those are the numbers currently with the rookies that the Raiders have. Couple more nuggets I wanted to get to here in segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast news and notes of the day. I mentioned on Thursday about the front office moves. I mentioned that Dave Ziegler added to the front office by hiring Lenny McGill from the Dolphins, serving as a senior national scout. He had previously been an area scout from Miami, worked for the Broncos and the Packers. And my guy Kevin actually pointed out that there was a guy that was removed from the front office for the Raiders as well, and I did not bring that to the table on Thursday, so I wanted to make sure I did that today. Teddy Atlas III is out as Raiders Assistant Director of College Scouting after more than a decade with the team. He is the son of legendary boxing trainer, who obviously is still the same name, Teddy Atlas. He had experience with the Browns and Jets. New GM Dave Ziegler continues his staff makeover. So one guy comes in McGill, and one guy leaves in Teddy Atlas III. So a little bit of update on the front office. And while I'm talking about the front office, an executive resigned after 7 months. This is something that Mick Akers put out in the Las Vegas Review-Journal late on Thursday afternoon. It says Raiders Chief Operations and Analytics Officer Jeremy Aguero has resigned from his position with the team Tuesday evening after just 7 months. And Aguero confirmed that to the RJ. He was hired by the Raiders in October when he left his previous role as principal analyst with Applied Analysis after a 24-year stint. He says, I informed Raiders owner Mark Davis of my resignation and the reasons behind it on Tuesday evening. He sent that text to the RJ. This is the first time in more than 30 years I have no professional responsibilities. I look forward to taking some time off with my family as I determine my own future. And I don't know, Raider Nation, I don't know. If you remember back to last offseason, if you remember the last summer, matter of fact, when I first got here to Las Vegas, I remember I interviewed Mark Bedain, the current president at the time, and then what, a week later after that, I think he was out of there, and then all of a sudden you start to see a mass exodus. And I'm not saying that that's what's going to happen now, but it looks kind of weird, kind of strange when a guy resigns after only 7 months on the job. Like, for instance, if I took this job here in Las Vegas at the radio stations, then all of a sudden 7 months later, I resigned, and I was like, well, I'm going to spend some time with my family, I'm going to do this, that, and the other, and be like, what in the hell? What happened with Q? You know what I mean? So that's kind of how I'm looking at it. And I don't want to send out some big, massive alarm and say that, oh, man, the sky's falling. But I'll tell you, it does not seem right when you have multiple off seasons, multiple summers in a row, when you're starting to see exodus like this from the front office. Now, I will say with the new regime, maybe that has something to do with it. And if it does, that's fine. But I'm just going to pay attention to this and see if there's any more exodus. And if there is, then okay, maybe it's something to talk about. If not, no big deal. So again, just kind of update you. Raiders Chief Operations and Analytics Officer Jeremy Aguero resigned from his position Tuesday evening after 7 months on the job. My final note I have for you for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast has to do with the schedule release that's coming up. And the NFL is the only organization, the only professional outlet that can actually have a schedule to have a schedule release. You know what I mean? Like, they have put out a schedule for a schedule release. It is incredible. They actually put out a notice. NFL Communications sent us an email letting everyone know what the schedule release is going to be. So check this out. We already know the international games. That came out on May 4th, right? We also know that on Monday, May 9th, ESPN is going to announce some of their home games. We know the full thing is going to be done. Let me back up. The full schedule is going to be released on May 12th. All right, so that we know. May 4th, we had the international games. On Monday, May 9th, ESPN is going to announce some of the games that they're going to air. Remember, they air Monday night football games, so they're going to announce a couple of their games on May 9th. On May 10th, CBS is going to announce a few of their games that they're going to air. On May 11th, Fox is going to announce a few of the games that they're going to air. Not all of them, but just a few of them. And then on May 12th, NBC is going to announce a few. And then all teams will announce their first home game. So we'll find out the Raiders' very first home game, if it's going to be a Thursday, a Saturday, Sunday, Monday, whatever it's going to be. I mean, I know it's not going to be Saturday. But if it's going to be a Thursday, Sunday, Monday, whatever the case is, we'll find out the first home game. And then later on the evening on May 12th, then we're going to find out the full meal deal. I'm sorry. I love the NFL, cover the NFL like a glove, and they're going to get me. I'm going to pay attention, of course. I'll be tweeting about it, all that good stuff. You know, we'll have schedule leaks. We always do. But, man, I don't need it all in a slow drip process. I really don't. I don't need just drip, 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 drip. You know what I mean? Just give it to me. Just give me the schedule and call it a day. We can analyze it. We can flip it up, smack it up, flip it, rub it down. Oh, no. I mean, we can do all that. I don't need it in the little slow drip process. I'm telling you, man, it's bloop. You know what I mean? It's just, I don't need it. But the NFL, they do a great job of stringing us along and making sure we're paying attention to every move they make. So that's the schedule for the schedule release coming up next week. That's all I got for you, Raider Nation, for segment number one of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Coming up in segment number two, my conversation with Jay Stevens from Locked On Buckeyes. He's going to talk all things Thayer Munford, the first of the two seventh-round picks that the Raiders got, the offensive tackle slash guard from Ohio State. We'll do all that coming up in segment number two. Before I get to that, though, do want to tell you about a couple of great sponsors, including BlueNile.com. And at BlueNile.com, you can celebrate all of life's special moments, from creating the custom engagement ring of her dreams to gifting a classic and timeless jewelry piece, all at prices you won't find at a traditional jeweler. Whether she prefers a statement piece or everyday elegance, BlueNile.com has fine jewelry options for every mom. Shop high-quality classic diamond earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, gemstone pendant necklaces, and a whole lot more. If you're looking for fine jewelry but you're having trouble choosing, Blue Nile has jewelry experts on hand 24/7. You can get them by phone or chat to help you find a very memorable gift at a very good budget. Make sure you mark Mother's Day with something enduring, classic diamond stud earrings, elegant tennis bracelets, birthstone pendants, and so much more, all at BlueNile.com. This Mother's Day, give mom something she'll treasure forever. Fine jewelry from BlueNile.com. All listeners of the Locked On Raiders podcast are going to get $50 off $500 order. This podcast exclusive is only good through Mother's Day, which is Sunday. Don't mess it up. Get it right, dummies. And I say dummies in the most respectful way because I've been that guy on the wrong end of those things where I messed it up. Get it right. Use the promo code Locked On. That's promo code Locked On. Every single order is insured. It ships free and arrives in discreet packaging that won't give away what's inside. Shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Go to BlueNile.com today. I also want to tell you about betonline.net. It is your number one source for all your betting stats and sports information. You can find out the latest sports development, league reviews, and news, including NBA playoffs, Major League Baseball, and even this weekend's Kentucky Derby. BetOnline.net is your continued source for all your sports wagering information. They've got live betting, playoffs, esports, and a whole lot more. Go to the website today on your mobile or your laptop and learn more about the trends and all the action. BetOnline.net. That's where the game starts.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
All right, Raider Nation, here we go. Segment number two of today's Locked On Raiders podcast as we continue to break down the draft prospects that the Raiders had. We've gone so far rounds three, couple in rounds four, and one in round five. Now we got to close things out with round seven. So the first one in the seventh round was pick number 238 overall. That was Thayer Munford, the offensive lineman. He's played tackle. He's kicked inside the guard. And to help me break it down is Jay Stevens, host of Locked On Buckeyes, talking all things Ohio State. Does a great job on his show. Well, here's that conversation I had with Jay talking all things Thayer Munford. Here right now with the host of Locked On Buckeyes, my guy Jay Stevens. And Jay, wanted to have you on for a couple minutes just to ask about Thayer Munford, offensive lineman from The Ohio State. Raiders selected him in the seventh round, played tackle, kicked inside the guard. Versatility is there. Who is Thayer Munford in your opinion?
Thayer Munford is you kind of said it before I was going to get into it. He's a versatile football player, and he's someone that I do believe, don't mean to go negative up off the top, but when you're going in the seventh round in the NFL draft, you kind of got some things you got to work on. That was startling to me. I thought he was going to go fifth, maybe fourth, at worst sixth round in the draft. But going in the seventh, I think the thing that was a knock against him last year was moving inside to guard wasn't his strong suit. He is a player that's better suited, I do believe, in the NFL on the outside at tackle. Flourished in 2020. If you look at the film from 2020 versus what you saw in 2021, you're like, who is this guy? Like, is he different? I just think that he didn't get his feet wet enough and get enough reps in the preseason prior to moving inside the guard. That's not going to be a knock, though. I believe he's going to get work on his craft, and he's going to be someone that the Raiders can decide if it's guard best or tackle is best. He just needs those reps. He's someone that's a work in progress at the guard position. He's someone that's a little bit more polished at tackle, but it all depends on what the Raiders see is the best fit for him once he's in the NFL. I know it's a little bit of a tricky response.
Right.
Because he's a seventh round pick.
Yeah.
I know he's better than seventh round, but I'm not a scout. I'm not an NFL coach. So I don't see some of the same things they see when they watch the film.
So, I mean, to me, it just seems like that he has an opportunity to play, you know, either position, the guard or the tackle, which is something that this new regime really wants, is that versatility. But he's got work to do on both spots. You know, I mean, there's cleanup work or else he wouldn't be a seventh round pick like you mentioned. So as far as just his work ethic and what he's willing to do, what would you say that, you know, Munford is he one of those grinders? Is he a guy that's just, you know what I mean? Like, is he going to get in there and really just work on whatever it is that they tell him that so he can find that spot?
He is that guy. And, you know, Q, I've never heard any coach, any player, any teammate say a bad thing about him. And I do know when you're going into the NFL, the locker room environment's different. These are grown men. Mm-hmm. These are husbands. These men have, a lot of them have kids. They have other ventures outside of playing football. And so it's different from when you're in school. Yeah, you guys are going to class together. Yeah, got class, you got a study table. You guys are like a family. It's different because once you're outside of the facility, your teammates got their own lives.
Right.
They have their own people in there. So I do think he's going to be a grinder, but I do think he's going to be someone that's going to be well acclimated and quickly get in tune to what the Raiders want and get in tune to what best fits him. And I don't think there's going to be any issues as far as like attitude or, you know the things I'm talking about when players
right.
act the fool. I don't think you're going to have the issue with him. I do think he's going to be a grinder. I do think quickly he will quickly find a way to figure out if guard's best or tackle is best. And whichever route is best for him, based off what the team needs, he's going to quickly work on that. I think footwork, a couple improvements.
Yeah.
I think footwork on the inside was a problem. I think leverage on the inside was a problem. Now, granted, one year playing guard, you're used to being on an island.
Right.
And you're inside, you got a tackle to sit next to you, and you got a three technique, and you got a linebacker that's stacked on top of him. That's a whole different look than if you're a left tackle with a tight end next to you or not, then it is an inside guard. So I just firmly think he's someone that is a work in progress, but you're not going to have any issues off the field with him. You're not going to have any issues as far as like work ethic and grinding and getting better, watching film. None of those issues, which is amazing because we do know how athletes are,
right.
College or pro. They get a little freedom. If they get a big head, they start a couple years,
right.
Things might go a little crazy. But I don't think he'll have those issues. I just think that he has to work on footwork and leverage and power, I do think, are the biggest things for him, no matter if he's at guard or tackle.
Just got a couple more quick questions for you. What do you think about the chip on the shoulder? Since you mentioned you thought he was going to go in the fourth round, maybe fifth round, he goes in the seventh round. Do you think he'll go into camp with that chip on the shoulder of like, hey, I'm better than where I was selected?
Q, I hope he does.
Right.
I think he will. But just me speaking as just the guy that I am, I hope he does.
Right.
Find any avenue. Find anything you can to fuel you. Because if you don't use that to fuel you, what's going to fuel you?
Right.
Is it the money? Well, the money could be gone tomorrow. Is it the contract? You could get cut tomorrow. You could
right.
get cut today. So what is it that's going to fuel you? If you are going to use being a pro as what's going to fuel you, great. But then find something else. I mean, and what you do and what I do, we find things all the time that may be different to fuel us. People knock Michael Jordan all the time for being petty.
Right.
But Q, it works.
Yes, it does.
It works.
Yes.
To get six rings and doing, I mean, the whole Scott Burrell thing that he did, that wasn't like fueling him, but that's Michael Jordan.
Right.
He did it to his teammates, did it to his opponents, and he was a killer. He was an assassin. And when he got on the court, you knew what you're going to get. So I do think he's going to use certain things to fuel him. If he doesn't, I hope at some point that ratchets up and someone gets into him and says, hey,
right.
buddy, look, if you don't use this little seventh round pick to fuel you, find something that you can. Because if not, you might be on the outside of the league looking in.
Right. No, I agree 100%, man. I find stuff every single day to push myself and, you know, fuel myself, just like you mentioned. I love it. All right, final question for you. Do you think he's a guy that will be a backup in the league? Do you think he could eventually work his way up to starter? What do you think his projection would be?
You're asking the crazy stuff today, man. I don't want to answer this stuff. No, I'm just playing. I'm just messing with you. I do think he's going to be a backup right away.
Okay. And that's okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that if he was going to be a starter, he would have been picked up earlier in the draft.
Yeah.
I think he knows he's a work in progress. I think his offensive line in college knows he's a work in progress. I think Ryan Day knows he's a work in progress.
Yeah.
So I think all the people in college that know him, that coached him, they know he's a work in progress. I think he can be. I just hope they figure out a position that they want him to play and stick with it. Because the last time they changed his positions and then went back on it, that's what hurt his tape.
Right.
I think that the best thing for him, and this is for anybody, figure out what the role is, stick with it, and then find ways for that athlete to improve. This athlete being Sarah Mumford, is he a guard? Is he a tackle? Is he a left or is he a right? Figure that out quickly and let him work on his craft.
Yeah, no, I'm not mad at that at all. Like I said, if you end up being a backup in the league and you're there for a while and you're still a quality backup, you're still in the league and you're still making money, you're still doing your thing. So not mad at that at all. Depth is always needed, especially on the offensive line. I like it, man. Good stuff. Jay Stevens right there, host of Locked On Buckeyes. What do you got coming out that we need to be on the lookout for?
Well, you know, myself and Ross Jackson of Locked On Saints will be doing a little Chris Olave talk.
Nice.
Heard he's the betting favorite right now to win Rookie of the Year. So we'll be talking about that and just really just talking more Buckeyes, NFL stuff. I'm going to be having you on again at some point to talk more. Well, last time we had you on, the guy got cut, so I'm not sure if you're going to come back on.
I'm bad luck, man.
but no, man, Locked On Buckeyes every Monday through Friday. Good stuff coming. We will have Q on. That was a little joke, but trying to talk more Buckeyes in the NFL and see what they're doing.
Yeah.
Going into the upcoming NFL season.
So there was my conversation right there with Jay Stevens from Locked On Buckeyes, talking all things Thayer Munford, the 7th round draft pick, number 238 overall. Sounds like a guy that could play tackle, could kick inside the guard. Not sure where the Raiders are going to want to play him, but he's going to have to earn his spot being a 7th round draft pick. Obviously, he's not a guy that's a guaranteed roster spot, but he is a guy that's going to have an opportunity to go out there and compete. And I talked about the offensive line quite a bit on my show on Raider Nation Radio 920 on Thursday, talking about, you know, who did I think was going to be the starting five. And that's a very difficult question just because I don't know. I know Colton Miller is going to be the left tackle, but outside of that, I think that every position is up for grabs. And so that's what makes it so intriguing, is who's going to go out there and earn those spots. So I think Thayer Munford, even though a 7th round pick, I think he's squarely in the mix. You know, I think that this new regime is saying, hey, we are not loyal to anybody on this offensive line. Anyone could earn a spot. And I'm not saying he's going to be a starter, but he could earn a backup position. I mean, you just never know. So Thayer Munford is a guy that I'm intrigued by. Not as in much as I'm intrigued by 3rd round pick Dylan Parham, but I'm definitely intrigued by Munford to see what he's able to do, especially since he played tackle and guard at Ohio State. So that was that conversation I had with Jay Stevens. Coming up in segment number 3, you're going to hear my conversation with Mike Regalado from Bruin Report Online, talking all things Raiders running back in the 7th round, the pick number 250 overall, Britton Brown. That's coming up in segment number 3 after I tell you about our good friends at Built Bar. I've been telling you about Built Bar for a very long time, and right now is a time where you should stock up on Built Bar, because the kids are getting out of school. You're going to want to have some snacks around the house, but you're going to want to have some healthy snacks, and Built Bar is the way to go. Instead of having candy bars laying around and that's all they're going to eat all day, because let's be honest about the situation, kids don't eat when they're hungry. Kids eat when they're bored. So if they're going to be bored, let them snack on something that's healthy, like a Built Bar. They got a lot of great flavors to choose from. Go to the website, built.com. They'll let you pick from anyone that you want. I got the promo code for you, LOCK15. It's all one word. You want to go ahead and use that. You'll save 15% off your order, but have a bunch of great flavors, 100% covered in chocolate. They're soft and easy to chew, so your kids will not even know. They'll have no clue that it's not a candy bar. They'll think it is when it's really a protein bar, so they'll be eating something healthy. And, you know, when they think that they're sneaking something, really you're getting over on them. And parents, that's what we want to do at all times, right? Get over on our kids, because they always think they're getting over on us. So check them out today. Built.com is the website. Again, the promo code is LOCK15. Get yourself a box or two or three, whatever you got to do. Stock up for the summer. Built.com.
Your Locked On Raiders, your daily podcast on the Las Vegas Raiders.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Here we go, Raider Nation. Segment number 3 of today's Locked On Raiders podcast. Just had a really good conversation with Jay Stevens, host of Locked On Buckeyes, talking all things Thayer Munford, the offensive lineman from Ohio State, pick number 238 in last weekend's draft. Now it's time to look at the Raiders' 2nd 7th round draft pick, the running back out of UCLA, number 250 overall, Britton Brown. And to help us break him down, Mike Regalado from Bruin Report Online. He's going to join the show to talk all things Britton Brown. So here is that conversation. Joining me now on the phone lines is Mike Regalado. He's a UCLA beat writer at Bruin Report Online. Mike is on Twitter at Mike Regalado LA. And Mike, thank you so much for your time this afternoon. Wanted to get a little feedback on Raiders 7th round draft pick Britton Brown. When we were communicating back and forth earlier today, you said you like Vegas for Brown. Why is he a good fit in your opinion?
I'm not an NFL guy, so I loosely dabble. And especially since the Raiders were in Los Angeles, I get a lot of input from my uncles, who are still diehards to this day.
Nice.
And one of the things is that, you know, they like where the running game is going, but you know, the consensus seemed to be that maybe they needed, you know, one more guy. And, you know, not being familiar too much with the Raiders, you know, going in depth as I am for UCLA, just from Brown's perspective in college, what he did the last 2 years, the Raiders are definitely getting quite a bruiser. This guy averaged 6.0 yards per carry. That's just an insane amount, especially for a backup running back.
Right.
And though it was more kind of like a you know, thunder and lightning type of deal with Zach Charbonnet taking the majority of the reps, you know, Britton Brown is no slouch. He started a few of the games at the beginning of the season, and even though Charbonnet kind of took over, whenever Brown had the ball in his hands, he did something with it. One of the most impressive things to me was the fact that he was tough to take down. He would get yards after you know, contact, and then still keep going. He would be able to bounce off defenders. And he, you know, he's not the quickest guy, but his speed, you know, is kind of elusive, you know, for a guy his size. So it was pretty, exciting to watch him handle the ball for UCLA last season. And if he can replicate, you know, just a little bit of that, obviously there's going to be some transition going to the NFL. But he has a body that is just solid. If anything, he looks, you know, ready to take on the challenges of the NFL.
I like it. And, you know, the thing about it, it sounds like he could be a guy that's a potential, you know, goal line back or short yardage back as well, where he's able to get those dirty yards. And like I said, especially in the red zone, get into the end zone. Is that kind of a role that you may envision him, especially early on?
Definitely. You know, maybe being, you know, that short yardage back, mm-hmm. Maybe a third down back, maybe not an every down back, you know,
right.
Once he develops into, you know, his NFL body and, you know, learns his role in the team, he will definitely crush people on short yardage plays, on goal line plays. Obviously that takes the whole team, but he's a guy that's smart. I mean, he went to Duke and UCLA, you know, right. Those are two academically praised, you know, institutions, and, you know, he just adapted to it really quickly. So his knowledge, his grasp of Chip Kelly's offense, which at times could be pretty difficult. I mean, Chip Kelly had some really interesting setups and schemes, you know, with like two, sometimes three tight end sets. But, you know, they utilized a lot of that for blockers, for additions to the line. And both Zach Charbonnet and Britton Brown, it seemed like they were like, that's where I have to go. Done. Give me the ball. That's where I'm going. That's what I'm going to do. So these are both of them, you know, together, you know, at least for UCLA fans, you know, they would love to have Britton Brown one more season. Unfortunately, he's out of eligibility.
Right.
But what he did in those two seasons, that stayed with UCLA fans. And it kind of brought back the essence of UCLA having, you know, big, tough running backs. You know, Zach Charbonnet, more of a speedster. You had Joshua Kelly, you know, the years before he was a speedster. So to have someone like Brown come in and just, you know, smash into people whilst getting yards at the same time, you know, that was beauty.
Yeah, no, it sounds like it. It really does. And, you know, you mentioned Duke and then UCLA, and that's where he started out, was Duke, and ended up at UCLA. What was that journey like? What made him go from Duke to UCLA, and how did Chip Kelly and company know that, yeah, that was the right guy for us?
You know, Chip Kelly really does his research. You know, a lot of UCLA fans get on Chip Kelly for not offering more players, for, you know, having limited scholarships handed out. But, I mean, if anything, you have to hand it to Chip Kelly for identifying these guys. And, you know, he's actually well-liked in a lot of coaching circles. He has a lot of friends, and, you know, he knows, you know, a lot of coaches that are at Duke, you know, in New England where he's from. You know, he's, you know, friends with Bill Belichick. So,
right.
You know, he gets the insight. You know, he has said that he'll have people call him and say, hey, this guy might fit you. He'll look into it. If it's good to go, like Britton Brown, you know, they'll do some more investigating into the student athlete. And yeah, that was one thing, because Brown, I think it was the year before he came to UCLA, was injured. So it's like, you're taking a risk on that. How will he actually perform? And then he gets on the field, and he's, like I said, he's just smashing people. So you can't be upset about that. But Bruin fans, obviously, he definitely would like to take in more 4 and 5 stars. But you can't say that Chip Kelly doesn't do his due diligence with really looking at overall what a player is going to bring to the program.
What were you surprised that he was around in the 7th round for the Raiders to select him?
No, I figured that's probably where he would be. Like okay. I said, it means he was running back too. And even
right.
though Zach Charbonnet, you know, Charbonnet could have come out this year, but he decided to return to UCLA. You know, sometimes RB2s don't get as much recognition. But at the same time, you can't avoid Britton Brown. I mean, he just kind of stands out. I mean, just physically, just looking at him, you know, just standing on the field, this guy has, you know, a solid shoulders, you know, a solid core, and he looks like an athlete. He looks like an NFL player, which is one good thing. And to have a good IQ and to, you know, have some legs, as I said, he's not a speedster, but he can do a lot with what he was given. You know, it seemed like that's about where he would have been drafted. Okay. If he wasn't drafted or taken as an undrafted free agent, that's when I would have said, okay, y'all aren't looking at this guy as a complete package.
Right.
So no, I'm actually, that's about where I saw him. I was thinking maybe five rounds and up is where he might go.
That makes a lot of sense. And, you know, the Raiders have a very crowded running back room right now. They've got a lot of guys in that room. So, obviously, to find his way onto the roster, to get a spot, he's going to have to, you know, be a ace probably on special teams as well. Do you see that as a role that he can play to at least get himself on the roster, make himself more valuable?
Yeah, and, you know, a lot of youngsters do that. It's like, like you said, when you have a crowded depth, whether it's, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, O-line, whatever, you have to prove that you can hang. And I think he'll be able to, but at the same time, you know, it's the NFL. It's not college anymore.
Right.
Things are different. You have more games. You know, it's just tougher overall, physically, mentally. And I think in that aspect, he has what it takes. But yeah, as you said, you have to stand out some way. And if you're still like RB3 or 4, if you can make a dent on special teams, hey, you know, you go with what you got. You know, that's kind of what might happen with Kyle Phillips, UCLA's stud receiver. He's you know, 5'10", a little undersized, but man, can he move. And he's not projected to be getting much time as a slot receiver. But for him, one of his extra talents was on special teams, being that punt returner. And man, when he turns on the afterburners, so being able to be multidimensional, I think is going to be huge for not just Britton Brown, but, you know, for anyone looking to make a roster spot.
No doubt. Well, I'll tell you what, it sounds like the competition is going to be real thick in that running back room. I think that Britton Brown is going to bring a lot to the table and make all those guys in that room really earn their spot. Mike, this has been fantastic. What do you got coming out on the Bruin Report that we need to be on the lookout for?
You know, just evaluating what we have with football coming up. Spring practice has ended. So it's now, where is everybody going to play? Who's going to be, we'll put out like potential depth charts, you know, unofficial. These are our assessments of everything. But yeah. And then just, you know, also getting ready for, UCLA basketball, men's and women's, both of them have, you know, exciting classes coming in. So yeah, we're going to be busy next year.
You always are.
UCLA football and hoops. So, now it's in the summer, probably looking at camps, you know, checking out, recruits, who are looking to make their decision this coming year. So yeah, it's nonstop. It'll slow down a little bit, but it never really slows down with UCLA.
No, it really doesn't. I always look forward to UCLA basketball here in Las Vegas. You know, you guys always come out here and are having tournaments going on in Vegas. So it's always fun to be able to check out the Bruins here in Las Vegas at either the Thomas and Mack or wherever convention center they have them in. I mean, you know how it is. It's tournament on top of tournament.
Oh yeah.
So Mike, hey, great stuff, my man. I do appreciate you. Great breakdown of Britton Brown, and we'll be talking soon.
Thank you very much. You take care.
So there it is, Raider Nation. That was my conversation with Michael Rigolato from Bruin Report Online, talking all things Britton Brown, the second of the seventh round picks that the Raiders had, number 250 overall out of UCLA. Hopefully you enjoyed that conversation. Hopefully you enjoyed the conversation we had all week long breaking down these draft picks. It's something that I did last year as well on the show, and I thought that it was a lot of fun. It was very informative. So hopefully you got the same thing out of this year. And again, like I said, I had a lot of fun learning a little bit more about these players as well. So Raider Nation, that's all I got for for you for this week. Hopefully you have a great weekend. Hopefully you have a great Mother's Day on Sunday. All the mothers out there, happy Mother's Day. Want to give a big happy Mother's Day to my wife. Obviously want to give a big happy Mother's Day to Mama Q as well. Hopefully everyone's having a happy Mother's Day, and you guys do what you guys got to do. Take care of Mom, because Mom takes care of you. So that's all I got. Enjoy your weekend. Enjoy your Mother's Day. We'll be back on Monday. We'll have plenty to talk about. Of course, the schedule will start to be leaked on Monday, so we'll have plenty to talk about here on the show as we do each and every week. Have a great weekend. We'll talk again on Monday. Take care of yourselves. Take care of your family. Love on your family. Most importantly, as always, just win, baby.